their company. It's, this is really cool stuff. You can give a little demo on things, so we'll turn the time over to her.
So our company Elfel is located in Salt Lake City, and it was founded in 2001, 11 years ago, with the idea to design and start manufacturing open hardware cameras. So over the years, we have developed a wide range of these cameras, but it all started with a reconfigurable network digital camera that is not even shown here because it's so old now. But the idea was pretty much the configuration, the kind of the configuration, basic configuration is similar to the current camera as well. So maybe there will be a question like, why to design open camera, open like as an open hardware, like why why this is why does it have to be open? What, why did we want to do that? We were coming to this project from as users of the cameras for scientific applications. Our founder Andrei, he was a scientist in Russia, in Institute of Physics in Moscow, and also working here at a Cordian company, which was producing high-speed photography cameras, and trying to use proprietary devices that were probably very good in overall in what they were supposed to be doing, but sometimes that you needed to add extra features or do something that it wasn't originally proposed for. It was very hard to work around and for example, connect the camera to three cameras to one computer, which was running Windows. So kind of stumbling on this, on these problems along the way, and also discovering the power of GNU Linux, when you can just get into the code and add several lines of code and add the features you needed. That was pretty much how the company was born. And so this camera that is shown here, it has three main parts. The system board that has CPU running Linux, and separates, and the FPGA that is responsible for image processing. And the FPGA, if you guys know, is a field programmable gate array. I forgot myself on this. And a separate sensor board that allows to connect different sensors to the same system board. So as far as I remember, getting first JPEG images from the prototype camera took about a month and a half with this Linux. Also, you, as I understand, something was used that was already available out there in the world, developed by some others. Of course, the hardware part needed much more implementation in terms of developing it, first on the schematics, the PCBA design, and then manufacturing it. So I would say it's definitely more difficult to develop open source hardware or any hardware than just software in terms of troubleshooting and getting prototype to work and then start manufacturing the product that is ready for production and sale. Well, with first couple years were really difficult with some business model that we had in mind didn't work. But at the same time, the camera was announced on the internet, and what we did for marketing mostly was the writing in scientific magazine and like in Linux journal, Linux devices, about the camera. And somehow Google was interested in this camera and asked us, can we quickly develop the book scanning camera it was like 2003, 2004. 2004 when this camera was already in production. the reason why we could actually quickly develop a new camera is because we could use the same system board. We just needed two for this camera because of the larger 11 megapixel sensor that is used for this book scanning camera. And the new sensor board had to be developed as well. And also, at this time it was a one-man company pretty much, but we were able to compete with Canon and Kodak because they didn't have the product that was quite ready for what Google needed. And it would take them, they were not also ready to jump in development, even for big company and big project. It's kind of specific. So for us, it probably was a 6 months development before this camera was ready for book scanning. So, and after that, we were also supplying Google for the Street View cameras. So if you guys will look at Europe, Japan, it is still scanned. It is still, I know they are using, they have built their own camera now, and we don't quite know what is inside. It seems like the same sensor that is used as was here, which is a 5-megapixel CMOS sensor. But what is in Europe and Japan and Canada, and I forgot where you find good resolution, so to say, not in Salt Lake City. this is all made with Elfel electronics inside, which is also system board and sensor board. And it was quite fun to work with Google on this project because we were traveling a lot to Google and working with the engineers, integrating our electronics into their overall design. So what other, the cameras have a variety of other applications. A lot of them are scientific. This is the Moss Landing Marine Lab that is using this camera for the robot, underwater robot that they have made, designed, and produced for taking images under the Antarctic ice of wildlife there, and whatever is under there. it used to be that they had to actually drill a big hole for the person to dive in. Now they just, and it was hugely expensive to bring equipment over to Antarctica to drill a big hole and have all the support for human to be under the ice. Right now they're using this robot that navigates with one camera. It's the same camera, but two sensors are attached to the same system board. So one is responsible for navigation, and the other one is taking high-resolution images. And it's possible to do this project because of the camera reconfigurability. And they can implement these things without our help. The other project is NASA uses it on unmanned airplane. Not for navigation, as far as I know, but for taking images from like near space, 20 kilometers. And to give an example of totally different application, there are several groups of independent cinematographers who are trying to build quite successfully the open hardware cinema camera, because also like cameras are like RED are really expensive. And also there are a lot of enthusiasts out there who want to do it open source, who want to make it available for larger community, the ability to shoot high quality cinema within the budget that they have. And so also this is what the branched projects that develop on their own, they just take a camera, use our support mailing list for help, and design extra hardware for them. And also design they develop the open source software for camera control, for cinema. This just talking to the cinematographers, we actually got this idea of something that they were always asking for is a larger image sensor for greater depth of field, which cannot be really achieved with like small sensors. Like if you, we can do that with maybe a cell phone camera, we can take a dollhouse and achieve depth of field shooting within this dollhouse. So some objects will be in focus and other objects are unfocused. But for real, like human scale, usually it is achieved with the bigger image sensor, which we don't have, but we are moving a lot, and I will talk a little bit later about that, into thinking of 3D reconstruction. And one of the ideas is to create depth of field out of the 3D information that we can obtain from three sensors in a fixed position, like on this camera that is here. It's actually not working as a 3D right now, but so it's similar to the 3D animation when there are actually virtual camera and several and some settings are set for the certain plane not to be in focus and certain plane to be in focus. So by knowing which one you want to focus on in 3D, which one is closer, which one is near, further, that can be another application. And this idea is actually, we were surprised to find that it wasn't patented yet. So we filed for the provisional patent for this camera and its application. The boards inside of these cameras are system board with access processor and FPGA that responsible for image processing. Sensor boards, that this one is 5 megapixel sensor board that we use mostly. And the extension board that provides different interfaces like SATA, USB, serial port. It also allows precise image synchronization if you have several cameras. And the multi-sensor board allows to attach up to three sensors to the same system board. The frame rate would decrease, but for some applications it works well. And this way we are able to have several configurations, and just a few of them are presented here, like a basic camera which is just system board and sensor board. With the multiplexer board, we can build the stereo camera or the triclop camera by actually this three camera, I think it has for higher frame rate, for full frame rate, it has system board for each one. But you can technically attach three sensors. Then our new development is the camera with the IMU, inertial measurement unit, and the GPS for, it's this one at the bottom, for providing camera position and orientation. And it's all, this information is integrated integrated with the images. So it's, forgot the word. Yeah, and it's all like, you know, which image is taken with this GPS information or IMU information. And we also can attach the hard drive to the camera externally, but in some applications it's more useful to have it internal hard drive. So it's a camera with the HDD. And sources inside, meaning that all sources, all code is inside, is like on available on the internet, but also inside the camera. So we are trying with this reconfigurability and ability to modify camera to different applications. We are thinking about the end user, who is more, in our case, usually a developer also. So camera is, can be modified on different levels, from simple top level of web design, like it's controlled through the web interface, and JavaScript and PHP, something that used for most web developers, and you don't need to be a computer programmer to modify the camera to some of the applications. And it's also available, it's also possible to modify it on more like programming languages and even the FPGA modifications possible. The FPGA industry is not really ready to open their designs, but they provide tools for FPGA programming. So our users, we have to think that they are not only buying a free and open source camera, but they can also have the means to modifications without investing into that. As I said, the sources are available on, like the programs, the code is available on the SourceForge, which we also use as version control, and all the current updates immediately uploaded on the SourceForge. So we use it internally, like for ourselves and for our users as well. And camera schematics, PCB layout documentation is on the wiki under the FDL, Free Documentation License. So here are the licenses that we have our products under. And this, so far this map is not very current, but the camera spread all around the world. It's been rather successful with different applications that it was used for. And while actually we are thinking, we are not thinking, we are developing a new camera, because this camera was designed, the NC353L that I was talking about was designed about 5 years ago, so it's getting a little bit dated. It still finds a lot of users, but definitely time to move on to a faster camera, higher resolution. And there was some kind of delays with the components that we were interested in, we have the design ready, but the components, some of them are still going to be available in next spring. So this was kind of, we were still using 353 camera for general applications, but we were also very interested in designing a panoramic camera that eventually became a stereophotogrammetric camera. And this is what we were spending a couple years now designing and developing. This camera uses the same electronics as NC353, as the small camera. So same system board and same sensor board. However, overall design is definitely different. It has 24 image sensors to cover the full sphere. So it takes 4π panorama. It's the highest resolution available right now on the market. So it takes 24.5 megapixel images. After stitching this image in the panorama, with losing some of the pixels that we plan not to use anyway, the final output is 64 megapixel. And again, this camera uses inertial measurement unit and GPS, so images are synchronized with the IMU and GPS, which allow us to integrate it with the maps. We took this camera to the SIGGRAPH this year, which was like less than 2 months ago. And SIGGRAPH is a special interest group for graphics and interactive technique. It was really fun to go to SIGGRAPH. It was a lot of work for the company like Elfell, which has 3 full-time employees. And we were pretty much next to Pixar, because there is a lot of 3D industry presenting at this trade show. So we were presenting this camera as a stereophotogrammetric camera, which means it can measure distances to the objects from the information it obtains from the images. So there is no laser technique involved, just the from 2 or more sets of images, we can get this 3D information because camera is calibrated. So I will talk about the calibrations method that we use. This is the camera inside exploded view, showing, as I said, the same system boards. Needs eight system boards to connect all 24 sensors. It has these multiplexer boards, interface boards. The special consideration was taken in designing the sensor and lens module because, first of all, we have to use small board lenses after researching, we found the ones that we like, but we have to use them small because of in panoramic application there is a parallax. So the further you have 2 sensors apart, the more parallax you will get. So we were trying to build them together really close to each other to avoid this problem that is really a big problem in stitching. Images together. So with this lens, we also need to align and center it to the image sensor because, well, they have to be centered to achieve better precision. And what we also found while designing it that there was you can adjust and center everything, and then the camera starts operating in a different weather conditions, and the thermal expansion of the aluminum gives way to this adjustment to get off. So we had to use the Invar material that doesn't thermally expand for this. This is what the camera is seeing with its 24 eyes. Actually, it is seeing the picture a little bit differently, so because we use the special low compression format called JP4, but then once it's converted in the JPEG, this is how we can preview the images. So the center this is the horizontal row of sensors. And the top and bottom, this is why I say we lose pixels, because we just use half of the actual area. But this configuration allows for the same resolution in around the whole sphere. And also with the CMOS sensor, there is another problem called ERS. It's electronic rolling shutter distortion, ERS distortion, because you probably maybe seen, if you take a picture with a cell phone that also has CMOS sensors, if you move the cell phone, the image gets skewed. So this with this layout, we can avoid the problems with the this electronic rolling shutter distortion. The camera is controlled from a laptop over the network. We can apply all the settings before recording, like exposure, white balance, frame rate, compression level, all these parameters can be set up, and then press the record button, and the camera starts taking pictures at up to 5 frames per second, but for the good compression quality, for the good quality of the images, we take them at about 2.5 frame rate. And that is needed for high image quality at the end. This is the output as an equirectangular projection. So this needs to be seen on the sphere. And I was going to show, but I think I will have to show it after this presentation is over, because it doesn't allow me to switch between programs. I will need to use the Google Chrome. So far it's been the best for the WebGL viewer that we are using. And so this WebGL viewer takes this image and puts it on a, you can view it in a sphere, like rotating around yourself. What we also, before we were using the inertial measurement unit and the GPS, we have developed an editor for this viewer that allows you to position and orient the cameras, the panoramic shots in the sequence as a path, and correct the orientation against the horizon and towards north-south, like the sides of the world. So this shows that you can change the horizon by manually rotating it. Of course, this was a kind of a temporary program for positioning the sequence of images, but it proposed to be done by extracting the IMU information and GPS information and interpolating it with the images. Then we can also integrate the images with the maps. We use the Google Map or OpenStreetMap. Them. For now, how do we get to the high resolution panoramic output from the images that we take with the camera? As I mentioned in the beginning, talking about the panoramic camera, is that it's a calibrated camera, which means it has to be calibrated for aberrations and distortions that that are present in every lens. And after the post-processing, this image shows that aberrations corrections allows us to sharpen the image in certain areas, like this small letters on the building, you can actually increase sharpness. We don't want to increase sharpness on the sky, but we want to increase sharpness where it's needed. Like tree branches will also be sharpened, and the letters. So something where there is a change in information. And this is done by the aberration correction, which starts, as I said, by adjusting the center of the lens with the center of the image sensor. Also, we have to make sure that they are parallel to each other. And this is all done by the adjustment machine that we have designed ourselves as well. And this pattern that camera, that sensor and lens module is looking at, this controlled by the program that's written for as a Java program for ImageJ. And ImageJ, I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. It's a open source image processing program that is popular in medical imaging and processing astronomy images. So there are pretty much all our image processing is written on Java as a programs. I'm not quite sure if they're plugins or just programs to the addition to the based on ImageJ. And we are also using our own camera, a separate camera, as a controller board to control the motors on this device and get them aligned with the sensor and lens. Aberrations, pretty much here, this is what the aberrations of each lens look like. So the camera, the lens and sensor module is looking at this pattern. It doesn't see this image exactly, but this pattern is kind of divided in 12 areas, and each point is showing the point spread function of one of these 12 areas. So usually in the center, the all lenses are very good, and towards the sides, you can see this stretching, and that's what aberrations in the lens usually are. For regular photography, it's not so such of a concern, because we just usually interested in whatever is in the focal point of the image. But for the panoramic application, we want resolution to be the same all around. We don't know where the center. There is no center in panoramic. So what we are doing is we are compensating for these aberrations with the special software that we write in this Java. And then this is how it gets sharpened as a result. So basically, looking at the pattern, the camera knows each lens is calibrated for its own aberrations, and then it's applied in the post-processing to the real image. And then we also need to calibrate for distortions, which is, again, each lens has distortions. It's usually either pincushion, when sides get concave, or barrel distortion. Well, the most obvious is the fisheye lens distortion, but every lens has some kind of distortion that needs to be compensated for. This is mostly done for the future. First, we started for the panorama stitching, automatic panorama stitching by pixel mapping. So each pixel is assigned its ray in space from the center of the lens to the pixel on the image. But mostly, since we started thinking about designing this camera as a photogrammetric camera for future 3D reconstruction of the panoramas, so we don't have only just flat panoramas, but we will be able to do them in a 3D world. This is extremely important because this you have to know this ray in space to be able to reconstruct the images from, I mean, the 3D information from just several sets of images. So for this, we have designed the calibration machine that we call goniometer. It rotates the camera at precise angles and also looks at this pattern. And by taking about like 1,500 images and then combining them with the knowledge we have of the how the pattern should look like, the ideal pattern. And then also it takes into account the about 1,000 of different parameters of the camera itself, each lens position and orientation in space, it's the distance from pattern, each own lens aberrations, each own lens shift from the center, in spite of trying to get it as close to the center as possible, there is still taken into the account that it's not exactly perfect. So there is like about a 7 million equation that the computer calculates to calibrate this camera. 100 lines of code or more. And this is what we already have done, and we were presenting that at SIGGRAPH. This is showing our booth at SIGGRAPH again. We have pretty much the same setting in the office, except we don't have the panorama on the wall because there is no marketing needs in the office. But yeah, this is the real calibration setting we were showing. I think I already explained that how it calibrates by looking at the pattern and rotating the camera. So it takes about 10 hours to take all the images it needs to take from the pattern, and then about 3 days to do all the calculations on i7 8-core computer that takes all the cores, so it's very paralleled. All the processes are going simultaneously, so it's packed to the full with calculations. And we also can calibrate to a higher precision the inertial measurement unit device by comparing its measurements with the precise rotation, precise angle that we know the camera is turned at. We also calibrate for flat field correction, which is the color correction, basically. This is another project that, I mean, not a project, but part of what the inertial measurement unit will be responsible for in this camera. As I said, there is an electronic rolling shutter distortion happening especially when the camera rotates. And it can be mounted on the car, so there are some places where the car might take a turn, and so the images would be skewed, which is shown here. We cannot compensate for the fast-moving objects, of course, but for the rotation of the camera itself, we can compensate by knowing this precise orientation of the camera at each, not at each shot. It takes 2,500 samples per second, this IMU. So, and the CMOS sensor, electronic rolling shutter, it scans, it doesn't take a snapshot image. It scans from top, in this camera it vertically scans the image. These lines, they can be corrected by knowing the inertial measurement unit position and orientation at each split of a second. This, we are showing our proposed 3D reconstruction method. So the camera, actually, I forgot to say, it has two more sensors, sensor lens modules positioned in the bottom of the camera pole where all the electronics is, at exact distance from the top two sensors. And this adds precision of knowing the position of the camera at two or more locations. So first we say we take the set of images, of panoramic images, at first location. And we also simultaneously had taken these images from the two bottom lenses. That allows us to create the stereo pair for some objects in this that happen to be in the both views of the top and bottom sensor. By knowing this exact position of these objects, and in the first shot and the second shot, we can create a virtual stereo pair of cameras in two or more positions. I'm explaining it. I don't know how everybody is familiar with the probably not very much with the cameras and the 3D cameras. Usually, if it's a, we had seen the setups where there are like four cameras on top and four on the bottom, so they take the images simultaneously from these two positions, and by triangulation they can reconstruct the 3D information. Here we can do, using the camera, at two different positions and no precise distance between these two positions, we can achieve the same result of the stereo stereo photogrammetry. And also because we can take more than two positions, but several positions and maybe far away positions of the camera, we can reconstruct the 3D information not only of the nearby objects, but far away, like mountains. And this is our current development. The IMU processing, data processing, and processing of the information for 3D reconstruction. So the camera is photogrammetry ready. It's ready to, it has all the information it's needed. What we have to do is to write more code for processing of all this information. And this is a big job, of course. We actually, at SIGGRAPH, we were trying to find something already available in this direction and didn't really find at least anything that was presented there. After we have the 3D mesh, after we have the 3D world built, we can also do it in HDR, in high dynamic range, because we can take, as camera takes images at 2 frames per second, we can take one overexposed, one underexposed image, and by combining them, we cannot combine them on the same image because the camera moved to the next position in these 2 seconds, so we already have, we cannot really combine them. But if we have the 3D world build, this can be applied, the light and dark images. And this is what also current market, current users of the cameras are very interested in. We were asked many times by movie people at SIGGRAPH, like, is this HDR? Is this camera HDR? I already outlined, but to briefly outline them, the R&D projects, the current research. So we need to development for position and orientation. We need to process the information obtained from the IMU and GPS. Also compensate for rolling shutter distortions. Be able to process the information for 3D imaging. And develop the 3D panoramas with high dynamic range. We think that there are a lot of interesting projects we have at LPhil, and we invite the University of Utah students to internship at LPhil. We have hardware and software available right there, and so you will be developing not for some abstract device, but for this camera that is right here, and you can try your program on the hardware, see how it works, get this exposure and experience with the electronics, as from schematic design, PCB layout, troubleshooting, verification of the board, and as I said, a lot of just pure coding for this project that we have. If you guys are interested, we will hold an open house, not next week, but 2 weeks from now and later, Tuesday and Wednesday, I think, two different days. Also, you're welcome to just write us an email, stop by, if you would like to see how it all looks in real, we're happy to show it. And that's about it.